Hello, everyone. We're going to give additional participants just a few more minutes to join, and we'll get started. Okay, everyone, we can go ahead and get started. My name is Julie Sun, and I'm a consultant with Guidehouse supporting CDC's One Lab initiative. A couple of notes about the webinar before we dive in. If you are having any technical issues throughout, feel free to email the One Lab inbox for support at onelab@cdc.gov. If you have questions throughout the session, insert them into the Q&A function below by clicking on the Q&A icon. And we'll do a Q&A session at the very end of our presentation, and we'll review those questions and do our best to answer. Note that we've also posted the link to live captions in the chat, but please be sure to keep both the caption window open if you use it, in addition to this Zoom meeting. Next slide, please. So for our agenda today, we'll start by discussing relevant OneLab resources. Then we'll go through some introductions into today's presentation. We'll have about a 10-minute Q&A session at the end, and then today's session will end with a discussion of upcoming network events. For today's webinar, we'll be leaving the chat feature open for your engagement. When utilizing the chat box, please keep in mind the appropriate rules of engagement. Feel free to use the chat to connect with others by reacting to what you're hearing, sharing experiences, and asking questions to fellow participants. But again, if you have a question for the presenter, please use the Q&A function and not the chat. Additionally, please engage with respect and professionalism. Any inappropriate language, improper conduct, or any form of discrimination may result in removal from the webinar. Please ensure that your comments are relevant to the topic, and if a moderator gives direction regarding chat behavior, please comply accordingly. Lastly, please notify moderators if you're experiencing technical difficulties or observe disruptive behavior. I'll now turn it over to our OneLab Partnership and Promotions Lead, Meredith Reagan, to share some of our new and relevant resources.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate everyone being here today. As Julie said, my name is Meredith Reagan. I lead partnerships and promotions for OneLab. So any of the social media content you might see, any of the emails you might receive, any of the web content, my team is responsible for those products. So before we get started today, I want to share three resources related to today's presentation. So I'll start with our point of care testing personal protective equipment toolkit. So this toolkit is based on CDC recommendations and OSHA PPE standards. You'll find that it includes helpful information and suggestions that you can use to adapt and use PPE components within non-laboratory settings or facilities. We also have a blood or body fluid exposure job aid. This provides standard precautions to prevent exposure to blood and body fluids. And lastly, I am excited to share our instructions for performing external control testing. So this job aid provides guidance on best practices for quality testing results and will help you accurately complete quality control logs for both qualitative and quantitative tests. So with that, I will introduce our presenters. So our first presenter is Theresia Snelling. Theresia has more than 20 years of clinical laboratory experience, and she has also worked in multiple areas and various positions, including bench tech, senior tech, and education coordinator to management. She has trained many professionals, including communicable disease specialists, laboratory assistants, phlebotomists, laboratorians, and nurses. and has trained them in laboratory techniques, best practices, and regulatory guidelines. She is a former state agency CLIA director, and in that role, she directed a program of laboratory surveyors who monitored federal certification and state licensure of laboratory facilities. She has also participated in developing and revising rules and regulations that govern the state's laboratory facilities, and she mainly focused on enforcing regulatory rules and guidelines and training end users on compliance. Teresia developed good laboratory practices for wave testing for the Ready, Set, Test online training course and the development of a booklet for individual quality control plans or IQCP. She is currently also involved in CLIAC planning and logistics, distribution and promotion of QSSB, so that's our quality and safety systems branch, training materials, and the online training courses. So we'll introduce our second speaker. Thank you. So our second speaker today is Amanda Johnson. Amanda is a clinical laboratory scientist at CDC here in the Division of Laboratory Systems. She has a diverse background in the clinical laboratory, which spans more than a decade across federal and private healthcare facilities. So before she came to CDC, Amanda served as a point of care coordinator at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, where she oversaw a comprehensive program that encompassed both waived and non-waived test systems. So we're really happy to have both of these speakers here. If you were here on our first Ready, Set, Test session, you may remember them. So looking forward to our second session, and I'll pass it over to you, Amanda.
Okay. Hello again, everyone. We appreciate the opportunity to present again to you today. For today's presentation, we will highlight the Ready, Set, Test resources for wave testing that are provided by the CDC. Like you heard, I'm Amanda Johnson, and I'm joined by my colleague, Teresia Snelling, who you will hear from a little later in the presentation. Patient testing is important. And with the assistance of the free Ready, Set, Test resources, which can equip testing personnel with good testing practices that help improve the quality of test results while enhancing patient safety, all test sites, regardless of where they're located, can get the right results. Today, we will give a little background on wave testing, the Ready, Set, Test educational materials for wave testing, and we will give an overview of the test section, as well as the checklists, testing logs, and job aids that are provided for test sites. By the end of our presentation, each learner will be able to identify the Ready, Set, Test educational materials as resources for wave testing, describe best practices to follow when performing wave testing, describe how to read and record test results, identify actions to follow when problems, including questionable test results, occur during the testing process. And lastly, recognize the Ready, Set, Test educational materials, checklists, testing logs, and job aids that can be used at testing sites. So with that being said, let's get started. So what are wave tests? Wave tests are tests categorized as simple, having a low risk for erroneous results. Wave tests include test systems that are cleared by the FDA for home use and those tests that are approved for waiver under the CLIA criteria. Wave tests can be performed without routine regulatory oversight, and they're often performed at the point of care. For the most current list of wave tests, you can always refer to the FDA list linked on this slide and in the chat. This list is continuously revised as new tests are waived by the FDA.
Amanda, hold up a minute. The slides aren't showing.
Okay, sorry about that. Let me see. Okay, they're showing now?
They are.
Okay. Which part did was not showing? I'll go back. Was it the slot? Sorry about that, you all. So, what are wave tests? Tests or tests that are categorized, wave tests are tests that are categorized as simple, having a low risk for erroneous results. Wave tests include test systems that are cleared by the FDA and those tests that are approved for waiver under the CLIA criteria. Wave tests can be performed without routine regulatory oversight, and they are often performed at the point of care. For the most current list of wave tests, you can always refer to the FDA list that is linked on this slide and in the chat. And just a note, the list is continuously revised as new tests are waived by the FDA. The Clinical Laboratory Improvement Amendments, also known as CLIA, play a significant role in wave testing by establishing standards and regulations to ensure accurate and reliable results. CLIA has very few requirements for wave testing and testing that is performed under a certificate of waiver. To perform wave testing, a test site needs to enroll in the CLIA program, pay a fee, and then obtain their certificate of waiver, which will be effective for 2 years, and then follow any of the manufacturer's instructions for any test that they choose to perform without any modifications. Test sites with a certificate of waiver are not routinely inspected. However, if CMS receives a complaint about a test site, that test site may be subject to an on-site survey. For more specific information and forms to use when applying for a CLIA certificate of waiver, refer to the CLIA brochure linked at the bottom of this slide and in the chat. The Ready Set Test educational materials and all of the resources for wave testing offered by the CDC can be found at the link on this slide. As a disclaimer, some of the recommendations encompassed in these resources exceed CLIA requirements for wave testing. However, following the recommended good laboratory practices that are mentioned in the resources will likely lead to reliable, high-quality results while enhancing patient safety. The Ready Set Test booklet describes recommended practices for physicians, nurses, medical assistants, pharmacists, and other individuals who perform patient testing under a CLIA certificate of waiver. The booklet includes forms and logs that can be used at test sites, and we will highlight those a little later in the presentation. As an accompanying resource, the self-assessment checklist for good testing practices is also available for download. This checklist emphasizes recommended practices while highlighting what should be completed throughout all phases of the testing process. Both of these resources can be downloaded from the previous link provided in the chat. And if you would like a physical hard copy, those can also be requested. We also offer the Ready Set Test online course. This course is a scenario-based training where all the steps of the wave testing process are explained. A certificate of completion is provided to participants of the course who score at least 80% on the post-test. This course can be used as a supplement when assessing the competency of testers. And if you need free PACE credit, this course does offer that at the completion if needed. So now I will give an overview of the good testing practices that are included in the test section of the materials. The ready and the set sections were covered during session one of our series, and I invite you all to go back and watch session one, which can be referenced using the link in the chat. So let's assume you've already prepared your testing area, performed quality control if it was indicated in the manufacturer's instructions, and collected your sample. Now the testing phase would begin. Navigating this part of the process means knowing how to perform the test, being able to identify and resolve problems, and interpreting, recording, and reporting the test results. When performing a test, you want to be sure to follow the proper testing steps according to the manufacturer's instructions in the exact orders they are listed. You want to ensure that QC is acceptable prior to testing any patient samples. And it's a good practice to have the manufacturer's instructions, the site-specific procedure, or the quick reference guide provided with the test system in the testing area. Quick reference guides or color charts are useful resources when performing a test or interpreting the results, but remember that they do not replace the full manufacturer's instructions, as they are usually just a portion of the instructions. Also, you want to use timers if indicated and follow the required timing intervals before reading test results. Interpreting test results is a vital component of the testing process, and again, your most reliable and comprehensive resource to ensure that you correctly read and understand a patient's test results is the manufacturer's instructions. Reading the results too soon can cause invalid or false negative results due to incomplete reaction of the sample and reagents. Reading a test after the time given in the manufacturer's instructions can also lead to false positive results, false negative results, or invalid results. So again, use timers for any time step during the testing process to prevent invalid or false negative results. Types of test results. So it's important to know what type of test result the test system you're using will provide. Test results are either quantitative, qualitative, or a combination of the two, where a numeric result is interpreted as a non-numeric result. Quantitative results indicate the amount of a measured substance reported in specific measurement units, while qualitative results are interpreted as positive, negative, reactive, non-reactive, or invalid. Qualitative results identify the presence or absence of a particular substance, condition, or microbial organism. When recording test results, test sites want to ensure they are doing so accurately and according to the test site's policy. Test results should be kept as a part of the permanent record and include enough detail for easy retrieval of information if needed later. Some good testing guidelines for recording results include if it's a quantitative result, you want to be sure that you record it using the appropriate unit of measure and exactly as described in the manufacturer's instructions. For qualitative results, you want to use full words or abbreviations rather than symbols. So, for example, if it's a positive or negative test, you want to write out the full word or use the abbreviation instead of using the plus symbol or the negative symbol. If you obtain an invalid or unacceptable result, you want to record that result first, resolve the problem, retest, and then record the repeated result, but only report the final acceptable result to the patient record. So sometimes problems can occur during the testing process that may involve the samples, equipment, or testing material, and all of these can affect the test results. These problems should be documented, reported to the person who oversees or directs testing, and corrected. Some specific examples of possible problems that could affect test results include improperly labeled samples, freezer or refrigerator failure, QC failure, or defective collection devices. By effectively capturing and tracking this type of information, you can identify trends that may reveal more problems in the testing process at your site. Some additional actions that you can take if you do have invalid or questionable test results, you can always repeat the test, request or collect a new sample if required, and refer to the manufacturer's instructions, especially if you obtain a higher than or lower than reportable range result. And then, of course, consult the person who oversees or directs testing. When reporting or issuing a test report, you want to make sure that you're doing so in a legible, standardized format, and you want to ensure that you report them in a timely manner according to your site-specific procedure. If your laboratory reports results from referral laboratories or reference laboratories, you want to report any tests performed from the on-site tests in a way that they are easily distinguishable from the reports from the referral laboratory. Patient test reports should only be released to authorized persons and in compliance with HIPAA. When verbal communication of test results are necessary, test results should be documented and then followed up with a written test report. And if your test site uses electronic medical records or laboratory information systems to issue test reports, always follow the site-specific procedure for guidelines on how to report results. So critical values are test results that require immediate treatment or evaluation by a physician. Test sites should have an established system to ensure that critical values are addressed by defining what tests have critical values. All staff should be aware of what the critical values are and how to promptly alert the physician. And all staff should know how to document when and to whom the critical values were reported. For some tests, confirmatory or supplemental testing may be necessary. The manufacturer's instructions should explain when additional testing is required. Each testing site should have a written site-specific procedure to ensure confirmatory or additional testing is performed or referred when needed. Site-specific procedures should include specific instructions on how to order additional tests, with examples of how to complete the request forms if you're sending it to a referral laboratory, how to contact the referral laboratory if necessary, how to collect and label the sample, and then how to safely transport and ship the sample to the referral laboratory. Test sites should also maintain records of any referred tests that would link the referred sample to the original patient sample. Document the referral laboratory, the test name, the date it was referred, and document the test results when they are received back and the date of the final report. Test sites should also document all steps of the testing process to ensure quality testing and to ensure that they can retrieve and verify information if needed later. Assess test performance, identify and resolve problems that could affect the test result, and maintain patient and personnel information. Logbooks, or electronic files can be used to document and maintain records. The person that oversees testing should periodically review all records. At the bottom of this slide are some examples of records that should be maintained for easy retrieval and access of information. I won't read them all, but you essentially want to have records that cover the full testing process from order to result. Some examples include test order, test results, confirmatory or additional test results, quality control results, test system failures, troubleshooting, and any corrective actions that were taken when problems were identified. Verifying and maintaining quality in patient testing is just as important as all the other practices I've discussed today. Assessing testing quality requires planned, systematic monitoring and evaluation of the testing process. One way to verify testing quality is with proficiency testing, also known as PT. The CLIA regulations do not require PT for wave testing. However, there are many benefits to participating in a PT program. Some of those benefits include regular external checks on the quality of testing, Comparison of performance with that of other participating sites. Opportunities to identify areas needing improvement. Quality assessments are another voluntary way to maintain testing quality. Depending on your site's needs, resources, and practices, you may perform quality assessments using a combination of internal and external processes. Internal processes are processes for staff performing and overseeing testing to evaluate their current practices. Some of those options could include performing and documenting QC, reviewing QC records and test records, and documenting and reviewing problems, and establishing a plan to improve those processes. External assessments are typically performed by an outside party to evaluate current practices and offer educational opportunities. Possible options for external reviews include undergoing voluntary inspections by peers or consultants, subscribing voluntarily to a PT program, or exchanging samples with other test sites who use the same test method as your site to compare results. I will now pass it over to Teresia, who will give an overview of the checklist, testing logs, and job aids available for test sites.
Hey, can everyone hear me?
Yes, sounds good.
Yeah.
So, the Ready Set Test booklet includes checklist, testing logs, and a host of job aids that are located in the appendix of the booklet. So, I would advise you guys to download it and use everything that you can. Task checklist here that you might want to use when you are preparing for testing. It is good practice to review a pre-testing task checklist before starting your testing process. Using this checklist will assist the testing work area is ready, storage and testing temperatures are recorded, equipment is maintained, and all reagents and test kits are acceptable for use. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Your logs. The manufacturer's instructions will indicate the acceptable temperature range for storing your reagents, storing your test kits, storing your controls, and for your patient sample. To ensure that a refrigerator, freezer, or room maintains the proper temperature, it is important to check and record the temperatures daily and before using the room. This applies whether the refrigerator has or the freezer has temperature alarms, or if they are charts and digital loggers or continuous temperature monitoring systems. So you want to take your temperatures. Your facility, your lab manager will inform you as to how to take those temperatures, whether you're going to do it once a day because you're only open Monday through Friday, say 9 to 5, or if you're like a hospital and you're a 24-hour facility, some places say take the temperature every 8 hours. So it's going to really truly depend on your facility and how things are regulated for your facility. The Ready Set Test booklet includes several examples of blank templates for testing sites that can be used. Next page, please. Here we have temperature logs, room temperature logs, and the maximum minimum temperature log. So we'll look at the temperature log here. We're going to do it by day. You're going to record the temperature daily. You're going to initial or sign that it was you that did it, and that's for a 31-day month. Also, at the very bottom of the form, you will see where there's corrective action. Say maybe you had a power outage. You know, here in Georgia, we have, you know, the thunderstorms. So I don't know what happens in your facility or in your area, but if there's something wrong with your temperature, you definitely want to log it in and say what you did and how you fixed it and how you kept your reagents and controls good. Next slide, please. Of temperature logs. This is one example where you have multiple instruments on one page, and you can say you have a refrigerator in hematology, and one in micro, and one in coag, one in accessioning, and you can label them and put your temperatures for every day of the week. That's just an example. These are located in the Ready Set Test booklet. If you download the booklet, this is in a PDF form. You can print it out and have access to it. Next slide, please. Quality control logs. CLIA requires for waived testing sites that you must follow the current manufacturer's instructions. So whatever they say for your quality control, that's what you want to do. Refer to the manufacturer's instructions for specific QC requirements for each test. Each testing site should determine the appropriate QC, the frequency for each test system. Like I said before, some people will probably do it once a day because you're only open during business hours. And sometimes people are doing it every shift. So make sure you follow the manufacturer's procedure. The frequency of your QC cannot be less than what's stated in the manufacturer's procedures. It can be more, but it cannot be less. The Ready Set Test booklet includes qualitative and quantitative QC log examples and blank templates. Next slide, please. Example of a QC log, and this is for qualitative test. And when I used to teach at I would tell my students qualitative, the L is prominent qualitative. So you're going to get a lettered result, meaning you're going to get like a positive, negative, reactive, non-reactive. Those tests could be like a pregnancy test where it's going to be a positive test or a negative test. It could be a rapid strep test where you're going to get a positive or a negative. And this is just an example of how to log it in. And we got cold blood here where it's saying positive or negative. Okay, next slide, please. This is a quality control log showing quantitative test. And I used to, my ditty for quantitative test is the end is prominent quantitative. So you're going to get a number result, and that can be a glucose, it could be hemoglobin, hematocrit, or something that's going to have a number. Here it's showing a test, I can't make it out, but it's showing you a test result that is numbered, and you want make sure you want to put the units here. And like I said, these are in the Ready Set Test booklet. You can download the booklet and have access to the forms. Next slide, please. The test result logs should be recorded, they should be legible, and they should be completed. Filing all test result records in an organized, easy to find manner, because you may have to go back and look something up later. To assist, several examples of blank template result logs are included for use at your testing site. Okay. Examples of patient result logs, and we have both the qualitative and the quantitative, and they're in the booklet, so you can download them and hopefully you'll be able to make use of them. The blank forms, if you have the advanced form of Adobe, you should be able to download it, and because it's a requirement to put, your address and I think the lab director's name, the address, the test that you're running, and the reportable or normal range, it should be on the log. If you have the advanced form of Adobe, you should be able to put that on the form after you've downloaded it. The next page, please. Result logs, and basically the same thing, quantitative and qualitative test logs for, and I'm thinking this is QC, and you'll have in the booklet, you're going to have where we show you how to do it, explain basically how it should be recorded on the form, and then you'll have blank forms that if you have advanced Adobe Acrobat, you should be able to download and work with. Okay, next slide, please. And this is an example of multiple test result logs. Get with your facility and the regulatory agencies that oversee your site and make sure this is something that you can use. But this makes it easy, like you could do for like one day if everything is on one bench. You could put, all the tests that you've done for that one day, and it would have all the patients and everything for one day. But make sure it's a form that you can use. It is also in the book that you can download. Next slide, please. Job aids and other WAVE testing results. Okay, let's highlight a couple of them. Next slide, please. This is blood and body fluid exposure job aid. This is going to kind of talk you through what you should do. It's standard precautions, cleaning up blood and body fluids. Always assume that whatever you're cleaning up is infectious and act accordingly. To assist, Ready Set Test booklet includes blood and blood and body fluid exposure job aid, which talks to you about what you should do and who you should notify and all of that if something happens. Slide, please. Safety aids. This is pretty much going to talk about putting your gloves on, taking them off, reducing contamination, preventing cross-contamination, protecting you from infection, and it assists with ensuring that staff understands safe glove use and the way to remove the gloves to kind of ensure you don't get infected from anything that may have come in contact your gloves. And that's in the booklet. Next slide, please. They're common on disinfectant and antiseptic job aid. So this is going to talk to you about what you should use and how you should use it. It also gives you the formula for making up the Clorox bleach solution, which is a common disinfectant. I know the CDC came out with this back in the 80s. I'm dating myself now because we used this when HIV and AIDS came out, and everybody was trying to figure out how to keep the counters and the lab equipment clean. And it's one part bleach and nine parts water. You put it in a spray bottle and it's good to go. In the booklet so you can read further. Next slide, please. To test or not to test is a booklet, just like Ready, Set, Test, but it's an additional resource for individuals who want to implement and oversee waived testing or offer new tests under a clear certificate of waiver. To Test or Not to Test booklet describes considerations and preparations needed prior to performing waived test. Some of the topics in the book, overall considerations for waived testing, testing oversight requirements, regulatory requirements, testing location considerations, laboratory safety, test selection guidance, test personnel training and assessment, instructions and procedures, and quality assessment options. A copy of this booklet can be downloaded from the link on this slide or links in the chat. And all of those things we just highlighted there, if there are job aids and forms, they'll be in the book. You can download them just like to test or not to test. Next slide, please. In summary, Ready, Set, Test educational materials, free resources, and job aids equipped the tester with good laboratory practices that help improve the quality of test results and enhance patient safety. Follow best practices when performing wave test allows follow always follow the manufacturer's instructions. Record test results accurately and according to testing site policy for reporting results. When problems occur during the testing process, document the problem, report to the person who oversees or directs testing. In the event of questionable lab results, repeat the test with a new sample if required. Ready, Set, Test checklist, testing logs, and job aids are available for use at all your testing sites. Next slide, please. We're going to open it up for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresia and Amanda. Amanda, if you could come back on screen, it'll be for Q&A. We'll take a few minutes to answer as many questions as possible. If we do not get to your question today, feel free to email us at onelab@cdc.gov. And we also have a few QSSB members who are online to answer questions. So you'll notice that a few of the questions that were asked during the presentation have been answered. So let's go with the first question. They say, How often should you record the temperature? Only once in a day, or can we monitor the morning, afternoon, and evening? So I guess a continuous kind of monitoring. I don't know who wants to answer.
I'll take that one. So, in my experience, you can monitor it all day. So, if you do have a continuous monitoring system, as we kind of mentioned, that's good because it's going to track the whole day. But a lot of places will just check the temperature in the morning. However, if it's the summer, winter, a lot of temperature variations are going on in your area. It's probably a good practice to keep an eye on like room temperature just in case it's fluctuating. So.
Let's see. This is a good one. What information is necessary when the manufacturer has a different test lot number from the box and each item, for example, the test device or the reagents, all have different lot numbers? So I guess this is when you're trying to log all of this information in. And I'm assuming your question is, what should you do?
I'd probably log all of the lot numbers. Yeah. If they all came in the same kit.
Yeah, and so this is a great question to ask. Can you replace the components of a test kit, like the swabs, or if there's something happens and you need to do, replace something that's in a kit, can you do that?
I can take that one. So, no, the swabs that come in the test kit may be made of a different material than the swab that you would use if you replaced it with another one, and that could affect the test results. So, you want to only use the swab that comes in the test kit, or a lot of some tests and test systems have where you can order additional swabs. Separate from your test kit, like if you run out or you feel like you might run low on what comes with the kit. So yeah, you want to make sure you're using what's in the test kit or what's in the manufacturer's instructions that you can use.
This is a good one also. Do we have to establish our own QC limits for all control levels, or is it acceptable to follow simply the manufacturer's QC limits for a wave test? I can read it again if you didn't.
I was gonna go ahead and answer.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so for wave tests, you can follow the manufacturer's instructions. You don't have to establish QC limits. Now, when you get over into non-wave, that's something different. But for wave tests, the manufacturer's instructions is your guide
We're
for
going
QC.
to stay. We're going to stay test, and we'll leave that one for network.
Right.
Are external controls only required per lot, or every open box, even if we already tested that lot? So they want to know if the external controls are only required per lot, or every open box, even if you already tested that lot.
So
Did the
in
external controls come with the kit? Because I know for wave testing, you usually have the controls with the kit. I'm
yeah,
confused.
so I'm not going to try to assume what they're asking. So whomever put this question in, feel free to kind of
I can perhaps take this one real quick. So I would recommend following your manufacturer's instructions. Perhaps you will find information about, testing, additional test kits,
from the same lot. So I would refer to my manufacturer's instructions. And also, if your laboratory facility have any established policies on this, you must follow your laboratory's policies and procedures. But my first choice will be to look at my manufacturer's instructions.
Okay, they did say yes, the box did come with the external controls. We'll take two more questions and then I'll turn it back over to you, Meredith. How long should you keep the patient records?
So typically, patient records are kept for at least 2 years, but for some in some states and for some specific tests, there may be different requirements. So I would recommend in this case to always check with like your local or your state public health department, or if you are under accreditation organization, check with them before you discard anything and for, exact record retention guidelines.
And just for an example, I do know that pediatric specimens are usually kept like until the child is either 18 or 21. So if you're a pediatric facility, make sure you check with your lab manager or the person in charge of testing before you get rid of your lab results. For surgical testing, if someone's having surgery, I doubt if waived tests are going to be used for a patient going to surgery. But if that is the case, I don't know. A lot of surgery requirements are that you keep results for 5 to 7 years. So you really have to check with your facility. If it's just, an adult record, you're going to your doctor, and then yeah, those records are typically 2 years.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
make
Can I
sure you
just
check with
add?
your facility.
And just to add, as per CLIA, record keeping requirements, patient records should be retained for at least 2 years. However, state regulation may have longer retention periods. So it will be a good practice to review not only the CLIA requirements, but also your state requirements when you're establishing retention policies in your facilities.
All right. Thank you so much, Amanda and Teresia. And I'll turn it back over to you, Meredith.
Sounds good. Thank you, Alicia. So I'll get us wrapped up today. So thank you very much again to our presenters, Amanda and Teresia. I really appreciate your insights and your presentations. And for all of you who attended, thank you for participating in this webinar. We do encourage you to complete the evaluation for this event. We'll share the link in the chat. OneLab is very feedback driven. We want to hear about your training needs and any thoughts you have about this session or other sessions you may have participated in. We do use your input to select topics for future events and to better understand the needs of this testing community. And if you are looking to obtain PACE credit and a certificate from this event, we encourage you to complete the Ready, Set, Test e-learning course. That link is in the chat as well, and we will share the QR code on the screen, so you can scan that with your phone and be directed to the course. And just as a reminder, we do post the slides for this presentation and any relevant links, and those will be posted on OneLab Reach within the next 2 weeks. And we really appreciate your participation today and hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you very much for being here.